Yeah, Hebrews 12:29. How should we listen to these words?
Very carefully.
Why?
Because they're God's words.
Then let us do so. Hebrews 12, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. In this ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant work. Last week in the sermon, we had just the two verses, verse 28 and verse 29. Instead of dividing them over Monday and Saturday, we have just verse 29 for today. And yet, in this little sentence is a reminder of the truth about God, that God is who he is, not necessarily humans would like him to be. Lots of people are uncomfortable with the truth about God's wrath, with the truth about God's holiness, that one who is a creature has no right to come near God, and that one who is a sinner must expect only destruction and holy hatred from the Lord. And yet, our God, who has revealed himself as a consuming fire, and remember, he did this many different ways. First, the burning of the bush, and then later the burning of the mountain of Sinai, neither of which were consumed. Second, you remember especially the whole burnt offering, which was consumed completely, and you see the wrath of God, and there was never an offering that could withstand the burning fire of God that would still continue against the sins of the people. And so that every time they came to worship, they would have to bring a whole burnt offering. But we don't bring a whole burnt offering when we worship. Why not?
Because Jesus was a whole burnt offering.
Because Jesus was our offering, and instead of the wrath consuming him, he consumed the wrath. Yes, it was poured out upon him, and he suffered in our place, taking the full onslaught of all of God's holy hatred for our sin. And yet, when he had suffered it all, still he was there, able to cry out, "It is finished," able to dismiss his spirit into his Father's hands. So we rejoice that we don't have to bring a whole burnt offering, but we still remember every time we come, don't we? We come through the sacrifice of Jesus. We come through the cross and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so every single worship service for us, just like for God's people before Jesus came, is a reminder that our God is a consuming fire. And then, of course, in connection with verse 28, when it says, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. That especially reminds us of Leviticus chapter 10, where Nadab and Abihu come, and they don't offer worship that is acceptable. They offer worship that literally in Leviticus 10 says is strange, because God had not commanded it, and the fire of God consumes them. And then Moses says to Aaron, "Is this not what the Lord has said? By those who draw near to me, I must be reverenced." And so the verse here, verse 29, our God is a consuming fire, in connection with verse 28, most certainly is meant to remind us of the glorious holiness of the God to whom we draw near when we worship, and therefore that it is necessary that we would worship him acceptably, that we would worship him with reverence and that outward manner of seriousness and great respect, and that we would worship him in godly fear, not just in an outward manner, but an inward fearing of the Lord, reverence for him. And yet it is good news that we draw near to God who is a consuming fire, because just as we were saying a moment ago, Jesus has consumed the fire for us. God is still great in his holiness, and that, of course, is underlined here. But his wrath against our sin has been swallowed up in Christ. And then there is a three-letter word in our verse that is a very comforting word, and that is the word "our." You can hear in there, can't you, the beginning to the Ten Commandments. What is the preface to the Ten Commandments? The preface to the Ten Commandments is in these words. I am the Lord your God. Right? And so when the apostle says, for our God is a consuming fire, he's reminding us that God has called himself our God, that he has called us his people. He has brought us into covenant relationship with him, and he's reminding us that he has saved us. And so it's not just for God is consuming fire, but for our God is a consuming fire. Intentionally reminding us of the fact that Jesus has taken all of the wrath on himself, so that there is, from this holy God, from this almighty, all just, unimaginably, infinitely holy God, there is for us no wrath, but only favor, only grace, through the sacrifice of Christ for us. That's how we come to worship tomorrow. So I want every one of you, when we're coming into the service, as you start to think about God, remember his holiness, so that you will be encouraged and reminded to worship God in the right way, but also remember Christ's sacrifice, and that we are drawing near to our God who has saved us in Jesus. So come with joy and confidence, expectation that our worship will be received and that he will bless us in it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you that in the ordinary scheme of things, during the half of the sermon passage on the Monday and Saturday, that you would bring us to this verse and this lesson from your word, just as we're about to come to the Lord's Day assemblies tomorrow morning. And so we pray that you would keep your word fresh on our hearts and our minds, so that we might come marveling at how you have made the way for us through the curtain to your throne, the new and living way, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ, who has taken upon himself all of the fire of your wrath against our sin, so that we might instead have only favor. So help us to rejoice in that as we come to worship you tomorrow. For we ask it through Christ, our sacrifice and our Savior. And his people here say,
Amen.
Amen.